On this episode of the Auto Windbags, we recorded one day early because the Raiders 53-man roster was released. Darren Waller's contract is now getting more confusing. John Gruden is back. Trayvon Mullen was traded. Alex Leatherwood is out. So much to get to. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, Rory Parsons.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, Rory Parsons. Let's have some fun today. We are just 11 days away from actual Raider football. Raiders, Chargers, SoFi, September 11th, afternoon game. Can't wait. Just 11 days.
Can't wait.
Closer and closer. I can smell the fresh cut grass from here in Long Beach. So we got a 53-man roster, boys. And I say that it's more like a roster-like substance because there's no way this is the 53 guys that are suiting up on that first Sunday game. We're low on offensive linemen, tons of running backs. He's like 11 defensive linemen. So you know they're going to be making some moves, but just your initial reaction today. It was a fun, like the Raiders, I don't know if it's their intention just to make it like high drama, but they're like the last to release their 53. It came in like little pieces. Drama filled day. The NFL knows how to just elongate drama, right?
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction today, Soto? Like what was your biggest, or I guess like, holy shit moment, or I don't believe this, or I love this. What?
The fact that it just that Mick Ziegler's not fucking around. They don't give a shit about dead cap. They don't give they give a shit about putting a good product on the field, and they don't give a shit about dead cap money. They don't give a shit about where you were drafted. Like I've been saying, like we've been saying since the very beginning. These guys are not married to any one of these players. The best guy is going to win. It's a competition. I don't care if you're an undrafted free agent. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you did last year on paper. I want to see what you do now, how you play now. Trayvon Mullins, you seem to be a good player. You were a starting player for us, but guess what? We didn't see enough of you. You were hurt. You chose to have surgery too late. And guess what? Other players are just fine. We were just fine without you. So happy trails, you know? But I talked about Leatherwood from the fucking day he was here. I didn't want him here. I never wanted him on this fucking team. And he played worse than an undrafted free agent tackle that's probably going to end up on our practice squad. Mm-hmm. There were three plays. I watched the tape. There were three plays, and Leatherwood played almost the entire game where he was not either beat cleanly or thrown on the ground. Three. That's it. The entire game. You cannot, will not be on a roster. So look, measurables.
This is why Soto, you said you'd play better than Alex Leatherwood.
What the fuck?
You'd have at least four plays where you weren't beat.
Dude, at least measurables right? Only measurables only count when you're a college player. Once you're in the pros and have been in the pros, it's about your tape. What have you done against other pros? And I don't care what your measurables are. If you look that shitty against other NFL players, you're not going to play anywhere. Nobody wanted our trash. Talking about trade this guy, we trade that. Nobody wanted our trash. Maybe they'll pick him up and we'll get a little bit of a relief from the cap, whatever. But that was a big oh shit moment for me. And that should have been an oh shit moment for the entire roster. We got to show up ready. We can't bullshit this whole fucking let me get surgery way too late in the offseason because I want to have my fun offseason and shit like that. Like you can't be doing that shit around these guys. We're going to find guys to come and play, and they're going to be ready, and they're not going to make mistakes, and they're going to be productive. And the last one is Isaiah Polamalu. I was really hopeful for him to make the team because I thought he was, you know, SC guy, good measurables, big kid. You know, we'll see how he goes.
It's just because he was an SC guy, man.
Yeah, you just said measurables only count in college. Yeah. And you're like, I like this kid.
He doesn't have to protein.
He's a good
college
kid.
Team.
He's a good kid. Great kid. Yeah, you're the one who's like, oh, Zay Jones, he helps old ladies cross the street. We don't want to keep him. I want players.
Yeah, he had a player, dude.
I like every excuse.
He ain't a player. That's the only thing I saw from him in preseason was missed tackles. I'm shocked he made the roster.
Yeah, because nobody throws to him. Because he's always doing his fucking job.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you guys pretty much nailed it. There's not much more to say. McZiegler really put their stamp on the team. As you said, it doesn't matter who the fuck you are, where you were drafted, where you came from. If you're not going to make this team better, if you're not going to add value, you're gone. And frankly, the dead cap is pretty insane when you look at it this year and next year. Like, they've cleaned house.
Yeah. I have some things on Leatherwood. We'll get to that towards the end. And I have a couple things on Ziegler. I'm not 100% convinced that he's just like, only guys who do the best with no stipulations. I'm not 100% convinced, so I'll run some theories by you guys in a little bit. But let's get through this roster, all right? Here's the defense. We'll start with the defense, get to the offense, and we'll end with the O-line for very obvious reasons. Defensive line, they kept 11 ends and tackles for Patrick Graham and his defense. Max Crosby, Bilal Nichols, Jonathan Hankins, Chandler Jones, Malcolm Kuntz, Deshaun Bauer, Andrew Billings, Kendall Vickers, Clay Farrell, Neil Farrell, a couple Farrells, and Matthew Butler. They cut Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa, Zach Van Valkenburgh, and Kyle Pico. Any surprises?
None. I'm surprised they kept that many. But mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, everybody on this list produced.
I think when they start, like we said, this 53-man roster, there's no way these are the 53 guys that are gonna suit up 11 days from now. They're going to for sure add some tackles. We'll get to that later. Add some other positions. I think D-line and running back is where they're going to start pushing guys to the practice squad to bring in new dudes.
Because you're that's 6 and 11, right?
6 running backs and 11 defensive linemen. Like, okay.
Eight offensive linemen, too. So that's
eight offensive linemen, right? So you're going to have to move that. I think defensive line, I think probably like Butler or Farrell Jr. are going to find themselves in the practice squad at some point. But it also maybe tells me that they like these guys so much they don't want them to run through waivers right now. Mm-hmm. They want them to try to keep them for the practice squad, but they don't. But they're probably not going to make the true 53, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense, man. I like every single one of these guys put good tape. You know, some of the younger guys had some up and down tape, but, you know, that's why they're back-end guys. Mm-hmm. That's why they're going to play against better players, not going to be asked to do too much. And just do what they're comfortable with and do what they're good at. But yeah, I mean, we have a solid squad here.
For sure.
I like the depth. Like, we obviously have arguably the, you know, maybe the best defensive ends in football, arguably, potentially. But I was worried about depth.
Not anymore.
Bauer and Kuntz. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome backup ends.
I'm happy about that. Honestly, Cleveland Farrell, I'm surprised he made the roster given what's happened with McZig. Because he hasn't shown anything all preseason, right? His tape's not very good. Maybe they just, they're like, all right, we can't keep cutting these guys. There's already enough dead cap.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's shown something in practice or, you know, maybe he's
7.8 million in dead cap.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's willing to do special teams. Maybe
he does play special teams.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he's done more than the other guys that they've cut in those positions.
The tape don't lie guys made a pretty good point. They're like, never underestimate football guys that love football guys. Like, say what you want about Clay Farrell. He's a football dude, loves football, lives and breathes football, good teammate, pays attention, learns this, you know, smart. Like, he's just like pure, like, oozes football. And that's contagious for other football dudes. They're like, yeah, maybe this guy... Like, I've been kept on jobs where I didn't need to be there, but my bosses liked me. They're like, you know what? You're good for the team. We kind of have your role already filled, but you're awesome. So you can kind of hang out for a little bit. That's how I kept a job at Fox for an extra year longer than I had. Like, they had another writer come in to do the box and be like, RJ's fun to keep around. He's a TV guy. Let's keep him around. I was the Clay Farrell of Fox Sports.
So his name is Clee Farrell, Cleland Farrell, not Claylin Farrell. Number one. Number two, he was another up and down guy. But again, put him in the right package, have him do, you know, what he's good at. I think he can be a decent pass rusher on the inside at a, you know, kind of a speed package. And he plays special teams.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised at the DBs. We spoke about Roderick Teema. We didn't think he was going to get cut. We knew Daron Harmon was going to stick around.
We haven't even done linebackers.
We had the linebackers, bro.
Come on. Come on, I'm trying to put a little.
We can go level by level.
Level by level, baby.
Chapters on the YouTube. Linebacker keeping five, which we thought four is probably enough. They're keeping five. Denzel Perriman, Divine Diablo, Jayon Brown, Darian Butler, Luke Masterson, Curtis Bolton, cut. Butler, Masterson, their camp was so good.
There's no way you could cut them. No way.
They earned their stuff. Probably not get a lot of playing time, but it's like.
You never know, man. You never know.
On your team.
Both undrafted, right?
Yeah.
Masterson definitely was. Was Butler? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, dude, we've kept some undrafted guys this year, right?
Four, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's, again, McZiegler, right? That is the staple of this team moving forward. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. If you add value, if you play yourself into a role, you're going to get a roster spot. Four UDFAs, that's a big deal.
Jake Jackson was a fucking undrafted free agent. He's a fucking bazillionaire now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, especially in the secondary, that's what Bill Belichick used to do a lot, is get these guys, coach them up, find something good about them. And, man, these kids, if they shine the way they did on special teams, the way they did in these preseason games, we're going to have some pretty damn good special teams.
Right. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Kwiatkowski got cut from the Falcons today.
Saw that. He got cut yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts. The fucking Falcons, bro.
Crazy.
We gave him a shit ton of
money. A bunch of ex-Raiders got cut today. Tanner Muse got cut. Mm-hmm. Third rounder.
David Sharp from the Ravens.
Yep. Who's that Joker back that Gruden was all hot and bothered about that we traded the Dolphins?
Lynn Bowden.
He got cut today.
Wow. Good Lord.
These motherfuckers are on like their second and third teams already. And they're still getting cut.
Jarrell Port Rory, we have to do a fucking an episode or just a fucking clip or whatever. A deep dive into all the Gruden/Mayock picks. Where are they now? Maybe they're playing somewhere else. Maybe they're playing in the USFL.
Maybe they're at a car wash hustling for tips. Maybe they're getting hand jobs under bridges.
This could literally be an ESPN 30 for 30. Like Mike Mayock, the guy that made it to the NFL GM position, the draft analyst, you know, the draft guru, finally gets the keys to the car on a fucking NFL franchise that's rocketing towards a $4 billion valuation.
Did he get the keys, though? Did Gruden actually give him the keys?
You know what?
No, that's what 30 for 30 should be on.
He was part of the team, and the team opened their asshole and diarrheaed all over their bed every single draft.
Succinct. You are a poet.
Yep.
The drizzling drafts were the drizzling shits.
We can get to quarterback now, Rory, since you were all excited about it. Rock Ya-Sin, Nate Hobbs, Anthony Averett, Amik Robertson, Sam Webb, cut, Darius Phillips, Ike Brown, Bryce Cosby. Sam Webb.
Sam Webb, man.
You balled out, man.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely surprised that Amik, like we were on the fence about Amik, but I guess, again, like his preseason tape was so up and down, it was crazy. But I guess like a lot of the buzz coming out of training camp was that he was having a good camp, and that the new DB coaches loved him and everything else. It also means that Nate Hobbs is probably going to play more outside, right?
Yeah.
Which we were kind of expecting. Which I'm kind of on the fence about that, to be honest, because I really liked his work in the nickel. Mm-hmm. I think he offers a lot in terms of run support and blitzing from the nickel. But yeah, man, he's
covering
a damn
tight ends.
Good nickel.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, you know. Patrick Graham knows the secondary. I trust him. If he thinks he can play outside, I'm sure he can. And shit, I'm surprised again that we're carrying five safeties. I didn't think Polamau was going to make it. Teamer and Harmon makes a ton of sense. It's an interesting, honestly, there was a lot of surprises today, but I think Trayvon Mullen is the biggest surprise by far. Like, you were fully expecting to see his name on this list going into today.
Starter. Not even making the 53.
Got shipped out for a 7. Could be. It's probably going to be a 6. He's going to play. They're fucking the Cardinals secondary is fucking a nightmare right now.
I think it was a combination of being injured during camp, and also he's not like a press man corner, which what Patrick Graham wants. I think it was also
these guys are man guys.
Yeah, so it's like, I think it was a combination of being hurt and doesn't really fit. I think if one of those, like, I think if he played all camp, we would have kept him. There would have been a role for him, especially in one of our shallower positions. A guy with that much experience, right? In a recent, decent-sized corner, it's like, okay, let's see if we can put a square peg in a round hole because the other option is having nothing in any holes.
Sam Webb balling out pushed Mullins out because Webb is a similar size, similar play style, a little bit better in man from what he's shown. And not afraid to tackle. Mullins can be a little iffy tackling. He can be a little iffy. He's a little spotty. He's not a Meek Robertson, but, you know, he's
physical, dude. Like, and he was a pretty good press man corner. Like, that was kind of like his long arms pressing at the line of scrimmage, sticking in man. He was too grabby at times, but that's where he kind of flashed. And he would have been, I don't know how tall Nate Hobbs is, but I mean, you know, in the AFC West, when you got Mike Williams and those types, he did offer something a little different to the rest of our cornerbacks in terms of his height and length.
We have our Mike Williams stopper and Amik Robertson, bro. He's been shown to do that shit.
Yikes, dude. So crazy. Look, but I mean,
as far as Amik goes, real quick, Amik was playing the outside starter position when he was in preseason. He's not going to play that in this role now. He's going to be, you know, the slot guy or a dime guy or whatever. He's not going to be on the outside. It's going to be different.
They said, so this is another one of those training camp tidbits, is he asked, I forget which coach said it, but they said that he has been lining up outside and he is experienced outside and he knows how to play the position, but he doesn't have the height, he doesn't have the length, and that makes him a liability at a outside cornerback position. It flat out does.
Sam Webb even sounds like a dude who you're shocked that made the roster.
I hope he keeps that Sam 48, Webb. Bro. I hope he keeps that number 48. That'd be so sweet.
It's like, yeah, you sound like you're from Missouri Western State Division II, barely making rosters.
Just dude, it was hilarious. So Keyshawn Johnson was saying how, oh, man, he's like, when I'm in training camp and I saw some, like, 48, 49 come and cover me, I'm like, man, get this guy out here. Who is this guy? And then freaking Sam Webb comes out with a number 48. Terrible.
I'll say this about Trayvon Mullen, what you're saying, RJ. So it was the toe injury. It was week 4 last year. He missed 8 games. He re-aggravated the same toe injury in week 14, missed the rest of the season, and then he had another surgery on the same toe in June or July, so he pretty much missed all of training camp, moved down the depth chart, probably still isn't fully healthy and is, you know, going through the rehab process. We don't know how healthy he is, you know, going to the Cardinals, and ultimately, when you move down the depth chart that far, is he going to play special teams? No, he probably wouldn't have played special teams, and ultimately, they went with Amik and Sam Webb.
Safety. Javon Merrick, Jonathan Abram, Daron Harmon, Roderick Teamer, Isaiah Palomau, kept basically all of them. Every single safety. Got 5 safeties. I don't know what that says about what our DBs are going to look like. If nickel and dime, is it going to be a third or fourth corner? Is it going to be a third or fourth safety? But they kept all 5.
You're looking at, when we look at the end of the roster here, the end guys, you're looking at special teams and you're looking at flexibility. You know, we said Amik inside outside, Sam Webb inside outside, Isaiah Palomau with his size, he can be play in the box a little bit, all special teams guys. So, I mean, I understand what the thinking was putting him in and keeping him on the team. It is a little bit shocking, but I mean, it's not like, oh, wow, you know, he played absolutely awful all year. I don't know
how. Now here's the test. When you're like, oh, Ziegler doesn't care about anything except players. Did Ziegler keep him because he's Troy Polamalu's nephew and the nephew of our running backs coach that played nothing into it? Not a single part?
I don't think so.
Okay. They were saying that he did well, you know, all throughout camp and everything, and core special teams guy looks out. Like.
He's pretty small.
He's not that thing. He's 6'4", but 215-ish, 220. Let's check.
He was listed as 205. I looked into it after you.
He's not that small, dude.
That's he's what not listed at 205.
He is listed not at 205, dude.
Listed at 205.
Yeah. I mean, so it'd be interesting to go back and watch the, like, up punts. Is he a gunner? Is he protecting the punter? Like, he's got a very specific role on special teams that they've kept him for. That's why he's still around.
On the Raiders website, he's listed at 211.
So he's probably 193.
Or they offense. Can go the other way like RJ does on his ID. He's still 155 on his ID.
I'm 160 on my ID. That's what I wore. I did, in fairness to me, I did fight at 155.
You never walked around at 160. You never walked around a day in your life at 160 when you were an adult.
Yeah. What did I just say? I made weight for my last fight at 155.
And you were at that weight for like an hour and a half, RJ.
I was at that weight for like 8 hours, which is why I fought so shitty. I made weight the night before and kept it off. I was like, damn it, I screwed this up.
Dude, that fucking
this sucks so bad.
That fight was not in your favor because the guy walked in 30 pounds heavier than you. That's why.
He missed weight. I cut weight too early, too fast. That's a
he didn't cut weight at all. That's what he did.
No. I just remember being. I got 10% of his purse because he missed weight.
I literally just remember being hammer drunk. I think we took a party bus over there for that fight.
And 100% of his fist is what you
offense. Derek Carr, Jarrett Stidham, Chase Garber's got the axe. No shocks here. No surprises here. Stidham played really well.
I like him, man.
Against a lot of first string defenses.
Yeah.
He's just calm, easy. Yeah. Everything looked easy. Everything looked in control. Everything looked simple. Made the simple plays. Made the big play when it was there. Nothing forced. I mean, ran when he needed to, and Leatherwood out there, he needed to a lot. But yeah, man, he kept the ball moving. He limited the negative plays, and that's one thing that I looked at. How many negative plays are we getting here? Are we getting these John Gruden first and 10 every single time, run up the middle, negative 1 yard? No, we're getting these, you know, very little negative plays on by these guys, and that was good. I'm pleasantly surprised by his play.
I'd agree, man. No turnovers is the big one. He knows McDaniel's offense. He made plays, you know, through the air, on the ground, good on third down. Red zone offense was good. And he doesn't cost $7 million, too, so that's kind of cool.
Like, what did I say all last season? What do we need from our backup quarterback? Really only two things.
Steady.
Run the same offense as the one and be healthy. Now, he's coming off a back surgery, so we'll wait and see if Stidham can stay healthy. But he knows the offense better than Derek, right? Been with the Pats, been with Josh McDaniels for a while. Like, that's all we need him to be, right? Be able to run the offense. That's up there, right? That's, you know, God forbid, Carr goes down the second quarter. Jarrett can come right in, not miss a beat. Instead of like, okay, let's bring in the Marcus Mariota playbook. Let's get back to like page 87 and do the 9 things he can do, right? It's like, nope, plug him in. Give us a chance to win. Love it. Here's where things start getting interesting. Running back. We got a lot of them. Josh Jacobs, Zamir White, Amir Abdullah, Brandon Bolden, Britton Brown. They cut Austin Walter and we'll throw in Jakob Johnson at fullback. You count the fullback, 6 running backs. You know, they say like it's Josh McDaniels likes running back by committee. This is like running back by quorum. It's so stacked.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs and Zamir White are pretty much the same player as far as the system goes. They do the same thing. Brandon Bolden is going to be more of the everything type of back where he can be some third down. He could be some, you know, early down. Amir Abdullah is going to be a strictly third down guy. And then you have Jakob being the fullback, but
Britton Brown.
Oh yeah, Britton Brown, special teams guy, just 100% special teams.
I think the very first person we sign, Britton Brown goes to the practice squad. I think he's number 53 of the 53, just because he ran pretty good. Like, he's a good little running back.
He for sure held in.
He held his own. I'm hoping, because again, UCLA guy, so I'm rooting for him. I'm hoping that they're like, all right, we want this guy on a practice squad. We don't want to lose him. Let's keep him on, have him beat waivers, and then when we hopefully sign some new right tackles or something, we'll try to sneak him into our practice squad under the radar and try to keep him. He's a good little running back, and you know, we lose every team loses running backs every season, right? Josh Jacobs, we know his history, right? And Zamir White handled the NFL workload. Bolden's not. No spring chicken, right? We're down to like, you know, second, third string running backs. I would love for it to be Britton Brown. I'd be very happy if it comes down to it, that would be decent.
Yeah, the key thing for keeping, having these, every single one of these running backs be productive is getting that tackle, man. Mm-hmm. You can have a bunch of, you know, B plus running backs. And as long as you can block for him, you don't need an A-plus running back to get production. You got to be able to block for him. You can have an A running back.
We have so many running backs, ESPN doesn't have enough space for it. They're like, why would we ever have a fifth option here? No one's going to have 5 quarterbacks or 5 running backs. Josh McDaniels says, hold my beer.
Be right back.
Amir Abdullah as well is going to get some return work. We know that.
Yeah.
And apparently, so one of the Kenyon Drake sound bites that was interesting, they said that Brandon Bolden is built like a Greek god. Like, he's just the most sculpted dude. He's in incredible shape. We have no idea how they're planning on using Bolden. Is he just special teams? Is he actually going to get some reps, some runs? Who knows?
He took over the White role with the New England. He was the receiving back after White went down.
Then here's another potential example. Is Ziegler just kind of like, all right, Bolden, you were a good teammate with us with the Pats. We'll put you on the 53. but you're going to be a practice squad guy. Let's just get you a couple extra bucks and help the guys learn. Is this maybe another example of, maybe it's not always the best guys. We'll throw this guy a bone because we like him.
I mean, he was productive, though. I mean, he's not a scrub. He was a productive player. No. So I could see all these guys getting decent work during the season.
Can I just remind everyone, Josh Jacobs had over, I think it's 5.1 yards per carry against the Chargers in week 18 last year. He had a touchdown, mm-hmm. 125 yards, and he basically iced the game for us, right? Some of those big, you know, short yardage moments, he came through in a big, big way. And honestly, if we weren't running the ball as successfully as we did in that game, we probably wouldn't have won that game. So a healthy Josh Jacobs against the Chargers, against that pass rush, is important. So it'll be interesting to see how much they lean on him versus splitting it up between Zamir and, you know, Abdullah and Bolden. I would be pounding Josh Jacobs until he gets injured.
Damn. Spit on it first, Rory.
Yeah, if only Josh Jacobs could run against the worst run defense in the NFL every week.
Every week.
That would be great. Right. But when he does, he takes advantage. Wide receiver. God, this is beautiful. I almost want to say it in a dirty tone. Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Mac Hollins, Tyron Johnson, DJ Turner. These are the guys that didn't make it. Keelan Cole, Dylan Stoner, Isaiah Zuber. And that doesn't even count DeMarcus Robinson that we got rid of earlier.
You know, we were talking about it after the game in the post-game show. And there's a reason why Stoner and Cole were in there in the fourth quarter. Whereas let's showcase these guys. And, you know, we saw, what, three, maybe four late trades? Maybe it was three or four. Nobody wants your trash, man. Just dump them. There's other guys. We like the guys that have been in our system already. We're not going to pick up your trash right now. It's tough. It's a shot in the dark. You know, we actually traded a guy late, but it's not likely to happen. These are the guys that were there. These are the guys that were being productive. These are the guys that were making plays against, you know, the defense and against other teams' ones when we did joint practices. So those are the guys that stuck around. I like DJ Turner, man. I like him. He's like a running back when he has the ball.
Yeah. God forbid anything happens to, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, but Tyron Johnston, DJ Turner, Mac Hollins, all three of them can hurt you in different ways. They all play special teams. They must have picked up the playbook, otherwise they wouldn't be in this spot. Again, I think it's crazy. If you would have gone back to the beginning of the offseason and said, we're going to cut both Robinson and Keelan Cole, we would have said you're high. There's no way that's going to happen.
It just goes to show you what I've been saying about roster building forever. It's like, yeah, you want every position to have guys that could do everything, right? You want everyone to be a 9.5 or 10, but you have a salary cap. You can't afford it, right? So you build your offensive line as big power dudes, or you make them small, you know, quick guys for outside zones or screens. Like you build your roster, you know, you find an identity that lowers your price tag. You find the best guys that just do those roles you need. That's our wide receiver room. Like Devontae Adams, like you go out and you'll spend $28 million in a first and second round pick for a guy who is a 9.5 at least at everything, right? You have the one guy that's the 9.5 at everything. And then you have Hunter Renfrow as the slot guy, Johnson as the speedster, Turner as the wiggle dude, Matt Collins kind of like, you know, the big 6'4 physical wide receiver, right? Like you get all those little pieces, right? Like you can't, if you get guys that are like 9.5s at everything, salary cap goes crazy. It's like, all right, these are your roles, right? But it does kind of scare me depth-wise, because none of them can really fill the roles of the starter. They have their preordained roles. So we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully we don't see what happens if anyone goes down, but I'd be curious to see what happens if someone goes down.
Yeah, that's throughout the NFL, though, man. It's just the way it is in the world, the way that the top-end guys in the contracts are going. If you lose one, it's going to be hard to replace them. It's going to be more of a Hunter moving into that role instead of one of the bench guys taking over. Like, let's say, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to put it out there.
Yeah. Don't even think it.
Yeah. Not going to happen. I'm going to stop right there.
Let's move on before we tempt fate. Tight end, Darren Waller, Foster Moreau, Jesper Horsted. Congratulations, Jesper. Cole Farthingham didn't make it. And then Hollister on the IR.
Yeah, I mean, Horsted, he was a good blocker. He caught the ball when it was thrown to him. He made a couple nice catches over the middle. I mean, we would think it maybe they would keep four because, you know,
tight end set.
JMD likes to use tight ends, so, but I mean, they kept three. It's not a, it's not an uncalled for number.
We'll see. We'll see. We will see plays where all three of them are on the field at one time.
Guaranteed. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Guaranteed.
Definitely.
Yep. Played himself into the role, called it last week. Great preseason.
I'm really curious to see what he does with actual decent quarterback throwing to him, right? He was with the Bears last season, played 13 games, and he had a couple tiny like flash moments, but like now you've got a real quarterback and you're like the number 9 guy that the defense needs to worry about. So
I see him being like a late leak on like a, you know, a 4th-and-1 on like our like 47. And he'd be like a late leak, just nobody covers him down the seam. He's just freaking running like crazy. Just something like that.
Have him block like 8 plays in a row and then just.
He's not a big dude. He's 6'3", 237, came from Princeton, so he's a smart dude. He's probably defined a role on special teams, and that's what ultimately won him the job.
Rory, he knows angles and leverage. He was an engineering major.
All I needed to hear.
I'm buying it.
Offensive line. And we ended with this one for a reason.
Goddamn!
Colton Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, Lester Cotton Sr., Jermaine Eliminor, John Simpson, Thayer Munford Jr., Jackson Park. I'm never going to get his name right. Cut.
Andre just glitched.
His brain froze.
Alex Leatherwood, Alex Bars, Jordan Meredith, Velocity, and Harness Grasu.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yeah, man.
Gone. 8. This is why we know for sure that this current 53 will not be the same 53 11 days from now when they suit up against the Chargers. Only 8 offensive linemen with Brandon Parker on IR.
Yeah, you probably have one more. You probably need one more.
Yeah.
They're really high on Thayer Munford starting at tackle. Maybe not right away, but later this year, possibly. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I've read. Parham might start at left guard over Simpson.
No,
not happening.
That's what I'm reading. I mean, so
let's go through it. So Colton Miller, obviously a lock, but Jackson Barton came on really strong in that last game, like really, really strong. Great left tackle, good at left guard, won the swing tackle job, especially with Illuminor going over to right tackle. It seems John Simpson lock, Dylan Parham lock. It's a credit to Parham that they didn't keep Grasu, right? The backup center.
Or Bars.
He had a pretty good offseason and preseason with us. That flexibility is huge. Cotton is basically our starting right guard, which is a little scary, but you know, we'll roll with it. And then right tackle again, I'm betting my money on Illuminor being our starting right tackle, and Munford maybe getting some reps later on in the year, but I don't know, man. He did not look like a capable right tackle yet to me.
Munford also played guard. So there's that flexibility that we have there. What you're looking at here is flexibility. Flexibility with these guys, which is what you need. Barton, I was very impressed by Barton on that touchdown run. I was doing some film. I wanted to do a film breakdown of it, but it was just...
He could move for like a big goobery.
Dude, look. He had to clear the space, so he had to take a back step, and he was basically a yard behind the running back, and he got out to make the block faster than the running back got out there with his momentum going backwards at first. So he changed direction, and he moved up, and he caught that defensive lineman or the linebacker. That was a great play. I was going to do a video on it, but yes, you know, Sunday was the chick's birthday, and I had to do all that stuff.
Oh, poor Jackson Barton.
Should we talk about the elephant in the room?
Well,
but go ahead.
I mean, well, look, we've all been wondering why haven't they picked up another tackle in free agency, right? They got the cap space. There's some guys out there. And I think it was just like, it just goes to show how frugal they can be. It's like, why would we force this now? Let's wait until there's literally thousands of free agents floating around that don't make the 53. Mm-hmm. And then we'll make our pick of the litter. That's what it feels like to me. Now, now you're counting on waivers. Now you're counting on other people's scrap heaps. Doesn't bode a lot of confidence for an offense that should be lights fucking out if the line can hold. I don't know if I like this strategy. Of just like, all right, we'll just wait until someone, until you know, because right tackles just grow on trees and fall in our laps. Like, we'll just wait for that to happen.
I think the thing is they're comfortable with what the guys that they have. They're comfortable with them. Maybe not that's their ideal. They're comfortable. And if someone shakes out after this waiver period, and that's an upgrade, then whether it's a slight one or a big one or whatever, there'll be guys out there. There's always and especially tackles that are a little bit older, maybe. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, especially at the dollar amount. Because that's the thing you have to take a look at. It's not that these guys, especially the linemen, are getting cut or getting released because they're bad players. Maybe they're not worth it at the price where they are now, and they would be worth it at a much lower price to someone else.
That's fair. I mean, should we talk about who's available out there right now? Because I agree with you, RJ. Like, I don't like this strategy. If we can pick holes in the strategy this offseason, I think not carrying, you know, seasoned veterans at wide receiver could come back and bite us in the ass potentially. But this one's the glaring one for me.
Yeah.
It's like we haven't really had a plan for this except seeing what we have in-house. There's some names out there. There is Jordan Mills. The 49ers cut him today. He's had 87 career starts. He's serviceable at right tackle. Darrell Williams is still out there. I don't know why. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, Marcus Cannon, the former Patriot, is still out there. And, you know, if they've got a background on him, if they like him, they'll bring him in. And then there was also rumors of Isaiah Wynn from the Patriots, who they would have just had a close look at. And last but not least is Andre Dillard, who's the tackle that the Eagles drafted in the first round a couple of years ago. He's now a backup because they've obviously found their franchise left tackle. And he switched to right tackle in 2019, and he's apparently on the block too. So there's a couple options out there, but they've got to learn a playbook. They've got to get ready for the Chargers. There's not a long window here. And it's a little scary, man.
I think there's an aggressive trade that needs to happen. I mean, you get a scrap heap guy, try him out, get him in there, right? Get him into the system for pennies. But I think there needs to be an aggressive trade.
Again, these guys aren't scrap heap guys because they can't. They're not scrap heap guys because they can't play. They're scrap heap guys because maybe their salary has far outreached their usefulness as a player. To that team, I can't use you at this price. I have other guys that can come in here and do it. He's like a Kenyon Drake. He's not a scrap heap guy. We had to get rid of him because he was just making too much money for what we can get with somebody else who was a lot cheaper. That's there's guys out there that are much better than what we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're having this conversation for one reason and one reason only. Alex Leatherwood couldn't make it 1.1 seasons in the NFL before he was cut. The Raiders waived the former first-round pick earlier today on Wednesday. According to Ian Rappaport, they tried to trade him to everyone. Got 32 no's.
They even said no to themselves.
I'm like, did they try to trade him to, like, the USFL? Like, to the entire league? Like, the entire USFL? They're like, anyone want him? And they all said no as well.
XFL is like, listen, no, we want good players on the XFL.
Obviously, Rappaport didn't have his calculator out, but this we all kind of, like all of Raider Nations thought this could be a possibility the last 2 weeks or so.
Would I was pounding like, the table for it.
You think like you 6 or 7 months ago would have been unheard of. Like I can't think of a first round pick that got waived before his second year began. Unless, you know, injury or, you know, trouble with the law, like just simply could a first round pick. You're like, nope, we'd rather eat that dead money than risk you having Derek Carr get decapitated. Like, not even like a third string dude, not even like a guy was like, all right, the cap is so hard, let's see if we can develop him. Let's try. No, not even that. Gone. That's unheard of. Oh, wait. Because it's been, like, our reality the last few weeks, we've kind of made peace with it. But, like, put yourself back 6 months ago. You're like, yeah, Leatherwood, they're going to waive him. You won't even make the 53. You're like,
I said it.
What?
I also said Abram, too. But Abram doesn't have the fate of the quarterback of our team in his hands. And Leatherwood potentially does. So it's a little bit easier call on that. I said it from the beginning. Everyone's like, oh, he's doing great. He's working out. He's losing weight. He's this and that, blah, 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 all this other crap. Listen, man, I said it from then, and I would say it again. I have to see it on the field. And what I saw on the field was regression. He got worse than last year. Yeah. And he was getting beat cleanly by backups, by third-string guys. He was getting manhandled by guys a lot smaller than him. He was off balance. He still was grabby. He was still was outside on everything. He showed really weak arms and weak hands. It looked like a guy who was in the band, and like, yeah, you're a big dude. You want to play football? Like, let's have you can play football. Their first practice, that's what Leatherwood looked like. His hands were all over the place. He was off balance. He was getting thrown on anywhere. Like I said earlier, I watched his tape on the last game, and he played almost the entire game. And there was three plays where he either didn't get beat cleanly or he didn't get thrown to the ground, manhandled. And it's just, you can't have that. It is unheard of to have a first rounder and it's not make it to his second year because of play, maybe because of injury or whatever, but because of play strictly, because he was healthy last year. And, you know,
that was his one positive.
Our boy Sanjeet, man, I hate to call you out because, you know, you're my boy. You helped me out a lot. But he tweeted out, well, you know, look at Colton Miller. Look at these guys. Like, he named a couple of guys. And I'm like, dude, most of these guys that you're naming were injured as rookies. And Dalvin Cook was injured his first two seasons before he was healthy. Leatherwood played every single game. And right. He got worse this year against inferior competition. Imagine with these third-string guys from Miami whooping his ass. He's going to go up against freaking Bosa and fucking Mac in the first week. You got to be kidding me, bro. And we're one step away from him being out there.
Mm-hmm. Complete regression. Everything that he worked on in the offseason, you know, getting in better shape, working on his pass set, working on his footwork, working on his hands. It looked like he lost confidence immediately at right tackle at some point. And it's completely true. Like, everyone could see it. He was getting beaten every possible way. And there's no, you know, they could have kept him because of the dead cap hit. They could have kept him as a backup right guard, but essentially you are taking away a roster spot from someone else that would improve the team more than Leatherwood would. So it was addition by subtraction. It just fucking hurts. It's another just epic, historical, you know, it's one of the worst busts in NFL history, even though he was number 17 overall because of the return. It is such a terrible draft pick from beginning to end, and it's another wasted opportunity. It just sucks. It really sucks. Like,
Jamarcus Russell got a second season, right? Like, even he got a second season.
He got a third season, didn't he? After his third year was released?
That was the second year he got let go.
I think it was the third year.
I don't remember. Look, anyway,
Tony Mandrich was a huge bust, right? He was the second pick overall. He was going to be the biggest. He's the best tackle ever on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He washed out as a tackle with Green Bay. But guess what? He had a nice career at guard with Indianapolis. He still came back and had a nice career. He wasn't as bad as Leatherwood. This is, hopefully, on a personal level, a team level first, I'm glad he's gone. Because right. He was a liability left and right. I don't trust him. And you can't win with a guy like that on your team. Number one. Okay. Personally, I hope maybe if he catches on somewhere else, hopefully through waivers so we don't have to spend all that money. But if he catches on somewhere else where he can develop and learn, he doesn't have that pressure of being the first round pick of that specific team. He's been humbled. He doesn't have that kind of shine on him as being a first rounder. He can then develop and make some of the anxiety or whatever's keeping him from performing at his best. It'll help him in the future, hopefully for his sake. But man, he's set financially for life now. He tried, but goddamn, man.
So for a bust of this magnitude to happen, it takes more than just sucking. He sucks, but it takes other things too. And I think if we were set at right tackle, like if we had a Colton Miller-ish guy at right tackle, I think the Raiders would have kept him. Just be like, all right, let's not bite the bullet. Let's see if we can develop him. Right? Like
if we were more
solid, they're like, okay, we can afford to have a long-term project, which he clearly is. We can't. We're all hands on deck. We don't have a right tackle. So it's like we need everyone who could potentially be that guy needs to maybe be able to start in 11 days as of right this second, right? Which clearly Leatherwood can't, right? So he had that going against him. Two, new regime, right? There's no loyalty there, right? That's another part of the equation. I also feel like this is one of the big busts for me on Ziegler. Like, this is what I think Ziegler's and McDaniel's first big error. Like, obviously they inherited a guy that's not good, right? But the other part is, like, if you knew he wasn't the guy, if you knew you wanted to trade him, or you knew that, like, he can't play right tackle for you, why did you put him at his worst position? They should have had him play right guard all preseason, the best position, run a bunch of power. That was the one thing he did. He was a decent power run blocker. He was not bad at that.
He can move.
Yeah, that was the one thing. Like, he's a physical specimen.
He got ragdolled, dude. He got ragdolled in run, too.
At tackle, right?
At tackle, but in the run game.
He's just, I think he's a head case. Because you don't technically get, like, your skills don't deteriorate like that. I think something's happening up here where he just felt uncomfortable, felt lost, and gave up. Like, the problem's between the ears, which is why I think he might still be able to develop somewhere. I'm just like, do we still kind of keep him? Because this is the problem. It's not the physical. It's not, you know, like, the technique's bad, but the technique doesn't just disappear, right? You don't just forget how to ride a bike or, like, get worse at riding a bike the more you do it, unless something's happening up here. So I feel like Josh McDaniels, and this is what you want to do with a strong team, and that's what McDaniels has been talking about. We put guys in hard situations. We put you guys in positions where you're probably going to fail, and we want you to overcome that and be stronger from it. And that's what the type of players we want. It doesn't sound like that was Leatherwood, right?
He crumbled.
And so if you want to get value for him, a guy that has all the physical tools and was a first rounder, and you put him on the biggest stage you have available and put him in a position to fail. If you knew he wasn't the guy, you put him at right guard and put him in position to succeed so you can get something for him. So this is, yes, they were dealt a shit hand. Leatherwood, not the guy that Tom Cable and John Gruden and Mayock hope they drafted. Not a guy that fits culturally, so it seems, with this new regime. But they also handled him terribly poorly. Like, they got nothing out of a first rounder that's not even in his second year. Zero, zilch, nada. And you're going to have to pay him and kill your dead cap. That is a failure on Ziegler's part.
Okay, here's the deal. Number one, he's not the only person you're evaluating at the time. Okay? So you do have to look at the rest of the team as well. You talk about running power the entire time. You're evaluating, you're showcasing other guys too. They played him a lot in the preseason. They gave him every opportunity to go out there and put good something out there. Put something out there. And he shit the bed. I'm not looking at the wrong way. I'm looking at it a different way. I'm looking at it a different way, not necessarily the wrong way.
Incorrectly.
They gave him
piss poor way.
Okay, yeah, your way.
I actually agree with Soto on this one.
They gave him every opportunity to go out there and play against ones, against twos, and against threes, and he got shit on every single time he went out there. What else do you want to do for this guy besides?
You're looking at it wrong. We're not trying to do the man a favor.
Go ahead.
We're not trying to do.
We are. We're trying.
No, we're not. No. We're not trying to do Alex Leatherwood, the human being, a favor. We're trying to get value out of an error in our past. That's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to make Alex Leatherwood look as good as possible so we can trade him and get something and try to eat some of that cap that we
have. And we played him.
At a terrible position, at a position where he fails. Play him at right guard just enough. Put him in late against the twos and the threes. Get some good footage of him at right guard. And then try to get some value for him. Instead, they're like, all right, you're playing against ones at right tackle, a position you're not good at.
And twos. And threes.
I don't think they condemned him that early, RJ. I think they gave him every opportunity to show some form of improvement because they didn't want to eat this cap. They didn't want to cut this guy because they knew it was going to be bad press. They knew it was going to look shit. I think they gave him every opportunity to be successful in practice and then in games and, you know, They tried with right tackle, he didn't do it. They tried a right guard, he couldn't do it. And ultimately, on cut day, they made a tough decision. I don't think they were trying to shop him from the moment they got in. And if they would, obviously you're right. They would have put him at right guard and seen if he could do anything.
The results are the results. You have a first rounder, not even a second year. You got nothing for him, you're paying dead cap, right? A lot of it's not in your hands. But they made one of two errors. Either they didn't recognize that he couldn't make the squad early enough, or they did, and they put him in a position to fail. One of those two things happened. That's the end result.
They put him into this position to succeed, and he
not right tackle. He's never succeeded at right tackle.
They put him in the position to succeed, and he failed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, and his failure is going to cost the Raiders. Again, like, don't right. treat it
not
as
on
like,
the field. Not
it's
on
not
the field.
Like, well, Leatherwood's wrong and Ziegler's right. Like, I don't care about the right and wrong. Like, I don't care about like who morally has the high ground. I care about the results and the tangible value that it's going to cost us, right? It's like, well, we gave him every opportunity and he failed himself. It's like, well, now the Raiders are paying for it. Like, I don't, that's not what I care about. Like, they did one of those two things wrong, right? They had to know that it's a chess piece. It's not a human being.
I think they missed on the evaluation, and that happens. Ultimately, again, they wanted to see some form of improvement, and he did not improve. Saban and his coaching staff couldn't improve him. Cable, Gruden's coaching staff couldn't improve him. New coaching staff comes in this year, couldn't improve him. At which point, you cut your losses and you're gone. That's ultimately what it came down to.
I'm just saying, make sure that like there's Ziegler and McDaniels share some of this disaster. And it is a disaster. They share some. What percentage? We can have that argument another day, right? Obviously, Gruden drafting him is a big problem. Leatherwood not doing himself any favor is a big problem. Cable literally pounding the table for him, part of it. But how Ziegler and McDaniels handled him, it's part of the equation. And that's the only people that we can hold accountable right now, because no one else is there, right? Mayock's gone, Gruden's gone, Cable's gone. Like, they don't care if he succeeds or fails. Like, that doesn't affect their lives at all. It affects McDaniels and Mayock, or McDaniels and Ziegler's.
No, God, help not Mayock. Right?
Anything else on Alex Neverwood? Never
no,
was.
I never want to say his name again as a Raider.
What are the chances that he develops into a average starting offensive lineman of any position? Because the physical tools are there, the pedigree is there, and I feel like it's not an easy fix, but it's a very obvious fix. If he can go somewhere where he's comfortable and his head can get right, he's got the tools.
So the three of us right now should go on record. Do you think he's going to be successful in the NFL, meaning solid NFL starter at some point in his career? I'm going to go ahead and say no. I don't think he's got it in him.
From where he's starting from right now, technique-wise, it's such a huge jump from where he is to you're looking at him being an average guy. You don't normally see those huge jumps where a guy is so poor and he can just consistently do it under pressure. And that could be the main thing, is under pressure. And we see like guys like what the fuck was his name? The guy from the fucking the Blind Side. What was his name?
Michael Orr.
Yeah, Michael Orr. That pressure that he had, like, he had a decent years in the beginning, but he tailed off towards, you know, he didn't have a lot longer of a career, especially with Baltimore, and he got a little bit progressively worse and worse. And that pressure, it doesn't get any better. It didn't get any easier when you face these guys, you know, these top-end defensive tackle or defensive ends every single week. That's a huge jump. That pressure's not going away. How you handle it, yeah, great. But still, his technique and it's just, it didn't mesh, man. He was able to physically impose his will against lesser competition in college. But when you get to pros, you can't do that, man. And it's about your technique over anything else. And he just didn't have it. He didn't have it in here. He didn't have it technique-wise. I just see him being a below-average guy, a max below-average guy.
So yes or no?
No. I think it's going to take – remember when Amari Cooper – went to the Cowboys and he was all stoked because, like, in Gruden's locker room, like, they don't baby anybody, right? They don't, no babying. It's like, you're here to play football. We're going to play hard. We're going to grind, right? At the Cowboys locker room, they're like, oh, Amari, you like chess? Let's start a fucking chess club just to make you feel at home. Like, let's knit you a little pillow that says home sweet home and put it in your little cubby. Right? Like, they babied him. And for a guy like Amari Cooper, who's kind of similar to Leatherwood, other Bama guy, right? Needs to be babied. He thrived under it for a while, right? Leatherwood's going to need an environment like that. Because obviously McDaniels and Gruden run very different locker rooms, but they're similar in the sense where it's like, we're not babying anybody. You're scratching and clawing to survive because it's going to make you stronger, right? Like, they're both kind of similar in that type of mentality. He's going to need a head coach. Or an O-line coach or fucking an assistant scout or whoever. Someone that's going to, like, put his arm around him, say, you can do it, buddy. Here's a lollipop. Let's go on the sled and practice. Like, he's going to need that somewhere. And I think if he gets that, I think he can have a career in the NFL. But the stars are going to have to align. Like, he's going to need to be in the perfect situation for that to happen.
So you're saying yes?
I'm going to say I think it's going to be hard to find. I think if he does survive, I think if he does thrive, it's going to be because of that. He landed at exactly the right spot. And that's not uncommon for almost every single player. How many players just had to, fell into the right situation and it worked out? How many players fell into the terrible situation? Like, again, he's got all the physical tools. His skills aren't getting worse because his skills are worse. His skills got worse because his brain stopped working, because emotionally he was out of it.
Look, man, I've seen it before too with the guy I played with. He got away with certain things because he was just really strong and really big. Then when he started playing better people, he never had the technique. He was never able to put it together. So when he was coached hard and forced to use technique over his physical tools, he looked even worse because the only thing he could do is use his physical tools, which wasn't working anyway. I just don't see it, man. Unfortunately, I feel bad for the guy, but whatever.
We'll play the XFL. I don't feel bad for the guy at all. I feel bad for us.
Right.
And our salary cap hit and our gaping hole at right tackle. That's what I feel.
Yeah, man.
One guy we can all agree on is awesome. Is in a little bit of a sticky situation, interesting situation. Jazina Anderson tweeted out, "My understanding is Raiders tight end Darren Waller has had a deal in discussion that would make him the highest paid at his position in terms of at least the new money average per year metric at $16 million a year per league source. Waller is currently in the midst of changing representation." So he left his representation a few days ago. There's a 5-day waiting period. That'll come up in the next 2 days, I think, where you can have a new rep.
Thursday.
This isn't, I don't think this is groundbreaking news, but it's not news either. Jazina Anderson, not really a major beat writer news breaker. This is obviously great. If you want this news to leak, you're in Waller's camp. You're like, oh yeah, he's going to get a new deal. Best deal in football. He's going to get more than Travis Kelce, more than Mark Andrews, more than everybody. He's going to get this crazy new deal coming off of injury at 31, 30. I don't know. What do you guys make of this tweet?
If all this is true, I think that we're looking at a good deal for us this year. We can finagle a little bit of his contract, maybe free up a little bit more cap space and ease some of that, Leatherwood hit, change some money into bonus money and this and that. So, kind of what I figured, I was talking about contracts and tight ends and we should wait, he's going to get $1 million a year more than Kittle does. It's like, that's going to be the jump,
Yeah.
Or not even a whole million. I mean, 700,000, I think. But, yeah, man, I think it's, he wants representation to be able to take him through this whole thing. I think it'd be a great thing if it's true. I think right now he's not practicing, not really, doing much because maybe he might be still a little bit dinged up. We don't know what it is. If he had a contract, he might be more apt to go out there because he has a contract. And I think he wants to be completely healthy without a contract. So I think it's fine. I think I'll get taken care of this off week before next week's game.
Look, so at the start of this offseason, I put my foot in the sand and said I think we should re-sign him this offseason. I know you were against that, Soto, initially.
Mm-hmm. As am I.
The reason I wanted to do it was because... Yeah, he's got 2 years left, but the gap between what he should be getting paid and what he's currently getting paid is pretty severe. Like, he's below average pay for a tight end, and he's a top four tight end all day long, right? Plus, he's 29 right now. He's about to turn 30 in September. He is coming off of an injury. This is his last, in theory, this could be his last big payday. And frankly, he would not have dropped his agent if he was happy with how the negotiations are going currently. And obviously, he's about to go into the season unsigned. So, it's pretty obvious what's going on. He wants a contract before he comes back. I would get the deal done personally. I think you reward your homegrown talent. And, there's a lot of unknowns going into this season. One unknown is not Darren Waller and Derek Carr and their relationship and their skill set together, the chemistry together. I want him signed. I hope the deal gets done. I hope he goes in and He could be the difference maker against the Chargers.
You've got 2 years on his contract. He's not going to hold out. He's not going to half-ass it. He's not going to be a locker room poison. You play the next year on this contract, and you pay him after next year. You've got him. You've got him by the balls. Now, it doesn't have to be black and white, right? It doesn't have to be all right, give me my current value $16 million a year deal right this second. There's ways you can finagle it, and maybe that's why. You could be 100% correct. Like, you could be like, nope, I want my contract. I want an agent that's going to do it right now. That could be very well be true. Another thing that could be true is, all right, maybe my agent just isn't creative enough. Maybe we can do, like, they've done deals where, like, all right, let's guarantee a couple million dollars from the second year and throw it into the first year. Let's meet you in the middle somewhere. Let's get creative with this contract so to make you happy enough to make it not be a big deal. Because, again, he's such a team player, he's not going to sit out. Like, I'm with you, Soto. Like, we talked about it pre-show. If he's like 50-50 with an injury, it's like, I'm gonna get healthy. Like, I'm not gonna go in there.
Yeah.
You know, if I had $16 million guaranteed, all right, I'll play on it. But it's all non-guaranteed. I'm gonna keep sitting out because he only, I think, practiced once this entire preseason. Obviously, didn't play any preseason games. So, I'm with you on that. Not a full like sit out, but kind of gray area. I think you can gray area this enough to keep him happy. And then you give him the big contract after next season, after he's meshed with this offense and McDaniels can really take him out for a spin. I don't think it has to be a make or break right this second.
It's a good argument.
I get it. I understand. But having been this far, honestly, like I agree with Rory. Like, I think that the ball's like maybe at the 5 yard line right now. And sticking point is just some of the like you said, RJ, the creativeness, you know, there's not as creative, and they need to make things work for everybody. Maybe Clutch was being a little bit more strong arm, hard ball. Hey, this is what it is.
Take it or leave it, or he's sitting.
Waller's like, wait, no, I'm not sitting. Yeah. Like, that doesn't do me any good, number one. And I want to make more money, not lose money, because, you know, with the CBA, guys that sit out, they lose a ton of money, and they can't get that money back. Yeah. You know, maybe he's looking for someone who's a little more creative, like you said, who can finagle some numbers, push some numbers around. And, you know, look, the Raiders have plenty of cash flow right now where they can just, you know, throw some bonuses around and, you know, here and there and see what we can do about making everybody happy. I think there is going to be a middle ground. I think when nobody's happy with a deal, that means it's a fair deal, right? Everyone think they should have gotten more. It's usually a fair deal. I think we're going to hit that point pretty soon.
Yeah, middle ground it this season. Let him earn the next contract this season. I think that's fair. Well, the guy that found him, or at least the guy that had the regime that found him, old Chucky reared his ugly head. John Gruden popped up in Arkansas of all places.
Arkansas.
Was it Kansas?
No, Arkansas.
Arkansas. Popped up with a microphone in front of cameras randomly and was asked a pretty softball question. He was asked, you know, obviously you're suing the NFL. There's not a lot you can talk about, but, you know, you've seen how, like, your players have talked to you, your former coaches have talked about you, your colleagues have talked about you. Just here's your chance to kind of address the people in the room about everything that happened with you and the emails and getting fired. He talked for about 2 minutes. Here's the 30 seconds of it that's most pertinent.
I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come.
First off, if I ever start a sentence with, I'm only going to say honest things, don't ever believe me.
That's like, look, you can trust me, man. You can trust me.
See these snakeskin boots, alligator suit, and slick back hair? Yeah, this Honda Civic, only a grandma drove it to and from the grocery store for every few years.
Like, when someone asks you a question and tilts her head, like, you believe me, right? You believe me, right?
Really honest here. Like, oh, so the times you say you're not going to be honest, you're going to be something else?
So unless you say that, then you're lying. Okay, yeah. Sweet.
Glad we got that settled, Jay or John. Thank you so much.
I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's just, it's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody else in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot.
You can tell he's been lifting in his time off. Guns or like
eating too,
eating like it's just body mass index. In general,
that dirty
right?
bulk, arms that dirty gut, bulk right? going. I'm gonna get some in and out and just curls.
He's slowly morphing into Mr. Davis. He really is.
Like he's mixing between
his bangs are getting shorter too. You gotta watch out.
He's merging into a version of his son. That's the power lifter and Mark Davis. He's like getting buffer and like weirder in the head.
And he eats fucking fast food every freaking day.
So what do you guys make of this comment?
I don't know, man. Look, it's shitty the whole situation, how it went down. He did it to himself. And in all reality, when it all boils down to it, it wasn't like somebody, you know, forced his fingers to write those emails. The way they came out was real shitty. I've said some really shitty things when I was pissed off. And I didn't lose my job for it. But when you're a public person, when you're the public guy, when you have a lot of money backing your company and you're a big part of that, you don't get bigger responsibilities. As far as him being able to get another chance, I get it. He can't say certain things right now because of the lawsuit. I think after the lawsuit is settled and he can maybe give a little bit better apology of what he gave, cause he was kind of deflecting like, yeah, I did something wrong, but everyone else has too. Like, no, I said this, I said that, this is why this was hurtful, this is why this is wrong, I understand where I was wrong. That's when the healing could start with people in people's minds. And I think, yeah, he should probably get another shot down the road if he wants one, but that has to happen first.
I thought he nailed it. Mm-hmm. I thought he really nailed it. He took accountability, he said it was shameful. I don't mind him drawing attention to the fact that everyone makes mistakes. I thought he nailed it. It was good to see Gruden back, obviously. If anything's going to stop him from getting another shot, it's the fucking draft picks that him and Mayock are responsible for.
Oh, he ain't getting GM powers wherever he goes. He ain't getting GM powers if he was like a Pop Warner coach. Like, oh, no. No, we'll let the PTA handle that. I don't know. It sounds like he really wants to coach again, and I don't know why the hell he'd want to. Like, he's got tens of millions of dollars in the bank. He's probably going to make tens of millions of dollars suing the NFL. He's getting up there in age. It's like
he likes it, man.
Yeah, he loves football.
He likes doing it. It's not work for him. He likes it.
Yeah.
That man loves football.
I wouldn't want that. What about coaching college? Think you'd coach college?
I don't think so. It's pros or nothing. Yeah, I'd give him an XFL team. Fuck it.
Yeah. There you go.
Right? Hey, why not?
That'd be huge. That'd be big. Awesome.
Gonna be huge.
In the XFL, they actually, like, you're allowed to practice. You know what I mean?
Right.
You guys ready to do some What Up Windbags?
Yes, sir.
Let's get it.
Jaws. This is in referring to, this is a comment on, talking about how Bill Barnwell was going to say, like, the Raiders are going to regress because, you know, their point differential and things like that. Jaws said the second Chiefs game was the catalyst that drove the Raiders to the playoffs last year. That was the game we lost, got down to 6-7, got our dicks completely kicked in. So did I with on the post fight show, we're like, fire everybody, season's over. This is awful. Like holding shotgun barrels in our mouths. And they reeled off four straight wins in a row against all more talented teams and made it to the playoffs for just the second time in two decades. Do you think that I never even thought of it this way. Do you think that ass kicking, it depressed all of us and made us think the season was over? But do you think that's what propelled this Raiders team to go on that incredible run to end the season?
Nah, it's too big of an ass kick. I think it was just the fact that the pressure was off. Like, we got to win four, how many straight? All right, let's just go out there and fucking just play our game. Because honestly, like, we didn't have any superhuman effort by any one person in these games. It was just a lot of wacky, you know, things that don't show up on the
It was a team unity thing, which is why I feel like this has some merit. right? Because it wasn't
we tried the team unity thing before this game. We're stomping on the freaking the Arrowhead, and we got it shoved up our ass.
But that's my point. Is here's another all version together. This is a, all right, we were all in this, we all survived this earthquake together, right? We're all in this bunker licking our wounds. Let's get after it. We just ate this giant pile of shit. Let's get out of it.
I don't know if it was the Chiefs game that was the catalyst. I think ultimately they decided as a locker room the pressure was off. They were going to go out there and fucking chase wins. And, you know, it's a momentum league, man. I think the last couple of years, obviously, the pendulum swung the other way where we've kind of eaten shit towards the middle to end part of the season, haven't been able to get out of that rut. But then a win after that, and then you build a couple of wins together, and all of a sudden you got momentum. And we spoke a lot about the unity within that locker room last year and the fact the guys are playing for each other. Try to tell Max Crosby or Derek Carr the season's over. Yeah. It's already go fuck good yourself. Luck. You know what I mean?
L. Bucky 6. Any chance Josh McDaniels lets Carr go and run the offense like Peyton Manning with the Colts? When he would run the no huddle under Musgrave, it was a thing of beauty. McDaniels lets Carr do that more often than not, or more often than we think?
No. I think McDaniels is too structured offensively. Even on a 2-minute drill, he has his keys that Derek Carr knows. So even if it's Derek Carr going out there and calling the plays himself, it's a set of keys. It's a set of things he's looking for. People like to throw this around like, oh, yeah, you know, Peyton Manning was the offensive coordinator. No, he wasn't. He was given certain keys and certain things to look for. So he knew what plays to call. So in actuality, yeah, the offensive coordinator was putting this program together for you. He gave you a little bit more leeway, but it is him putting the keys there for the quarterback to call the plays.
So wait, so I you're saying would he do what happened with Peyton?
Not to that extent, no. No. Okay.
I think if it does happen, it would only happen if we're looking at, you know, we're 2-4, if we're 2-6 and the season's fallen apart. And, you know, at that point, I think McDaniel cedes some of the control and says, Carr, go out there and do what you think is going to be best for this offense. And it'll give him more license to change plays. That's the one thing we didn't see in preseason, right? Was are they going to be able to effectively change plays at the line of scrimmage and communicate that amongst the entire offense? We didn't see any of that in the preseason. So it remains to be seen. But is he going to give him that control right off the bat? No way.
He's going to have to earn it for sure. If it does come, it's going to have to be because he earned it. But I will say this. What's been the biggest theme about Josh McDaniels this season, this preseason so far? It's that he's going to the players and saying, what do you want to do? How do you want to approach this? Here's my playbook. Here's a pencil. What do you want to change? Let's pick each other's brains. That's been the new Josh McDaniels, right? Like, that was, I think, the big reason why he failed so bad in Denver was because he was a totalitarian. My way or the highway. I don't even have to explain to you why I'm doing it. I bark. You take the order. Now, every time every player who's asked about Josh McDaniels, like Devontae Adams is like, yeah, he wanted to pick my brain, like kind of fluffed his ego a little bit. I think this new Josh McDaniels, there's a chance that he gives Derek Carr the keys to the Ferrari a little bit more than normal. Certainly more than Gruden did, right? Gruden was just like, this is what we're doing. But this new Josh McDaniels feels like a guy that if you've earned that trust and you've reached, you know, a relationship there, let's try it, right? Take him out for a spin for a series, Derek. And like you said, Soto, like here's the keys. Here's our game plan. Here's what we worked on all week. But you're feeling it. You're eyeballing your receivers. Like you're watching the linebacker read your guys. Like you try it for a little bit. I don't think it's that far-fetched. Uloa, talking about the top 100 at the NFL, NFL.com, NFL Network, the top 100. Uloa, Colton Miller should have made the top 100. I picked this only because Colton Miller's good, above average, solid left tackle. But I think because he's so much better than the rest of our linemen, we make him out to be this like future four-time Pro Bowler. That, hey, maybe, right? I'd love for that to be the case. Like he could always get better. But I think just compared to the rest of the line, he does look like Lincoln Kennedy. He's just so much better than everybody else we have.
Yeah, man. Look, I think he's a good player. But when you talk about top 100, you talk about like there are five teams in the NFL that don't have one player on the top 100 list. So, no, I don't think he should be in the top 100.
Look, my main man, Hunter Hummer Renfro, didn't make the top fucking 100. That's the person that should have made the top 100. Colton Miller, you said it, man. He's an above-average left tackle. Good in pass pro, okay in run blocking. Not flawless. Certainly no Trent Williams. I'm happy to have him, but I'm not going to die on that hill.
Very full show today, guys. A bunch of stuff we didn't have time to get to because we have our 53-man roster, sort of-ish. 53-man-like substance. Did this show one day early, recorded a day early because...
You're welcome.
Thank you guys for coming in. I'll be hopping on a plane to Paris, as you people are probably listening to this, to work. So I'll come back with some baguettes. I'm going to order nothing but freedom fries and freedom toast. Maybe go like cowboy hat, loud Hawaiian shirt, offering everyone ketchup. I want to fit in. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to look like a tourist. So I'm going to make sure that I, you know,
wear white socks, wear a fanny pack.
Yep.
You know,
zinc on my nose. I don't want to burn.
Wear like a Dodger hat. People know exactly where you're from.
Yep.
As the European here, guys, like RJ, you need to go taste some real fucking food. Like Paris is the best food in the world, man. No bullshit. No bullshit. You need to get out there and try some new shit.
I will find the closest Taco Bell by my hotel. Really get a flavor of the local cuisine. Can't wait to do it.
That's sad.
All right. Well, until then.
Knock on wood if you're with me.